Hey.
So, just to let you guys know, we were pretty much perfectly aware that we were never going to top last year. So we're not going to try. So you know, don't expect explosions and dancing girls or any of that. Because yeah, we're just going to talk to you for a while.
What?
Oh.
Sound good?
So I don't know how many of you were here last year, but I gave a little bit of a speech that was it was directed towards some of the younger members of our audience, and their habit of putting dumbass, pointless, misspelled shit on other people's web pages. And I didn't tell people not to do it last year because I kind of felt like, you know, maybe someone will do a cool webpage hack and maybe someday someone will do something with that and it'll be genuinely hacktivist. But I've been following it for the past year and you can stop now. Like, it's just not going to be cool ever. Getting their butts kicked. So, yeah, quit hacking web pages. Still learn to spell. They want me to announce that you can watch this on Channel 9 on the house TVs, but I don't think any of you are going to do that, so.
What?
It's not important. Forbes magazine, and he always did really good work, you know, and he always respected us, and he respected our privacy, and in fact, he wrote a story on the New York Times hack, and he interviewed the people involved, and Forbes, he got asked to testify in front of a grand jury about that, and ordinarily, I mean, I wouldn't care, but he's going down to the line for us, and
us being us
hacker kids, and I think that when someone in the media really does a good job, and when someone in the media respects us, and when someone in the media understands our right to privacy and anonymity, we really need to support that. I mean, we give the media a lot of shit, and when someone does it right, we should really support them. And he had to resign from Forbes magazine. Rather than being forced to testify in front of a grand jury and reveal the names of his sources, and he needs our support, and he needs all of your support, and yeah, you know, give it up for him.
It's like I'm saying.
Yeah, it's like I'm saying. All right, I'm done. I'm gonna pass this off to Veggie, and he's gonna explain a little about what is the CDC.
Okay, some of you guys know me, some of you don't. I'm Death Veggie. I'm the Minister of Propaganda for the CDC. Thank you. So I want to talk a little bit, especially after, you know, we released Back Orifice 2 years ago and BO2K last year, and we did a presentation at H2K a couple weeks ago. There was a lot of sort of like flack, and especially, you know, one article in ZDNet by Drew Ulrichsen. Drew, are you out there?
Drew?
Drew? No? No Drew? Oh, well. Basically, like, complaining. It's like, oh, well, you guys, you know, they didn't release a tool. Like, why did I even bother going? And you know, what I want to talk about is that's not what CDC's about.
Not a fucking software company.
We're not a software company. You know, we've been around since 1984. What we are, you know, basically we're a group of, you know, we're hacker kids, but we're not, you know, we don't write tools normally. We're, you know, we started out as an e-zine group, and that's what we are. You know, we happen to have released a couple of tools, but, you know, they were a means to an end, as opposed to the end being global domination, of course. They're not an end unto themselves. And it seems like people seem to be expecting us to release more, and that's, you know, that's really your problem. Especially like, you know, with BO2K, when we released open source so that you guys could come out with the next version of BO, so that we could move on to greater things like our orbital mind control lasers. Oh, crap! Now they all have to be killed. It's a shame, but it's a small price to pay. So, you know, well, I know that you had some thoughts on this, so.
Yeah, I think what he's trying to say is you might think of us as this badass hacker group, as this, you know, as these techno terrorists or Marxist maniacs.
Not.
Yeah, not to say that we're not, but you have to remember that for us, whatever else we might do, it's always about the T files, the girlies, and the money.
Not necessarily in that order, but not necessarily not in that order.
Yeah, it could be. And
So now that we've told you all the stuff about how we're not going to release a tool and we're not going to tell you about any new exploits, SD is going to tell you about an exploit.
It's not actually an exploit per se. It's a program I've been working on, which essentially...
It's a tool.
Okay, it's a tool I've been working on, which essentially is a handler for the NetBIOS name service packets. Now, I'll give you some background for those of you who aren't explicitly familiar with Windows networking. The NetBIOS name service is how Windows machines or NetBIOS machines, and this all goes back to, you know, IBM LAN Manager, which is what the protocol was originally used for, use UDP packet. This is NetBIOS over TCP specifically, use UDP packets on port 137 for the name service. And it uses these for a bunch of different things. Essentially, the main purpose for it is to make sure that there's to locate machines by their name, obviously, and to make sure that there is no two machines using the same unique name on the network. For those of you who want the real technical info, RFCs 1001 and 1002. I was writing a handler for these packets mainly because I like to see how things work and wanted to see what this constant of flood of UDP packets that Windows machines generate was, and they are just, you know, machines announcing that they're present and looking for, asking for other people's IP addresses constantly. In the process of handling these packets, there's, I want to make clear that these are not exploits. These are base problems in the protocol that date back 10 years. That have always been there, and according to a lot of people, everybody in the security industry has always known about them, and yet we are still using this protocol. The most obvious problem, which was the first thing I implemented, essentially one of the things NetBIOS nodes do is when they want to use a unique name on the network, and keep in mind, this all applies to NetBIOS networking, not specifically TCP at all. When they want to use a name on the network, they essentially send out a name registration request. They say, I'd like to use this name. Is that okay with everybody? And my program listens for those broadcasts, and with a command line option, will say, no, I am using that name. So that no matter what you set your Windows machine name to, the machine tries to join the network. It says, there's a machine with your name already on the network. Please go into the control panel and change it. And no matter what you change it to, you'll always get that. And that's just a fairly obvious one, but the one of the more less obvious ones that I discovered, which actually surprised me because I read through the RFCs and I didn't actually read this functionality into the RFC, but apparently if a NetBIOS node receives a name release request, now that doesn't mean that somebody's asking that node to release the name, it means a node is saying, I'm done using this name. So if you send a packet that says, I'm done using this name, that by the way you are using, it gets that packet and says, oh my god, somebody's using one of the same names as me, marks it in conflict. Now, names that are in conflict essentially aren't usable. Existing connections on those names will continue to work fine. So if you're connected to some other network resource, keeps working fine. But after that, it no longer responds to that name when people are looking for it by name. you can't connect with that name. Nobody can connect to that name. So essentially, it completely disables the NetBIOS networking. And you can do it very selectively for specific names in the NetBIOS networking. For instance, disable the workstation service, but not the server service, or vice versa. And this sounds like, you know, a DOS attack, which in many ways it is, but it's not your typical DOS attack. It doesn't take down the machine. The machine just very slowly drops off the net when it's the people's cache of its IP address expires, and it just doesn't show up anymore. You reboot it, and oh, by the way, so the way this works essentially is there's a specific NetBIOS name service packet called an adapter status request, and that essentially says, give me the adapter status of the remote NetBIOS node. And one of the things that it returns, as well as some like statistics information that for some reason Windows always fills in with all zeros, is the MAC address of the hardware adapter on that node and the contents of the name table. And again, the name table is the names that a NetBIOS node has registered to use. It says, these are unique names, I'm using these names. And it's responsible for defending those names. If somebody else says, I want to register this name, you say, no, I'm already using that. We talked about that. So, So the adapter status stuff. So you send an adapter status request, and the adapter status request packet is actually a 56-byte UDP packet. And this was actually the more useful use for my tool is it's an incredibly effective NetBIOS scanner. Because as fast as you can spew out 56-byte UDP packets, if you hit a NetBIOS node with that 56-byte UDP packet, it will respond with the contents of its name table, which tells you right in there whether or not the server service is running and whether or not you can connect to them. So doing this, I can scan a Class C from a decent pipe in about 8 minutes. And it's really just as fast as you can spit out 56-byte UDP packets. Using one of the other options for my program, you can, every time a machine responds with its adapter status request and its name table, you can have it cause all of those machines to go into conflict. So in 8 minutes, you could scan a Class C and disable every NetBIOS network machine in that Class C. Every single one. And the other thing is that these are UDP packets, and one of the most common router and firewall misconfiguration that everybody sees is letting any UDP port through. So because my program doesn't go through the system APIs, my program, which is called NBName and is available on my website, which is linked off the CDC members page, is open source and compiles on both Win32 and all Unix platforms. Because it doesn't go through the system APIs, you can specify the source port you want to send from. So you can a lot of times get through, send from source port 53, and you get through a lot of misconfigured routers and stuff. All right, this is a DOS, you know, big deal, yet another DOS. Oh, let me talk to you about Microsoft. I notified Microsoft about this, June 20th. when I first notified them, their response was, yes, this is a very familiar problem to us. In fact, one of our other customers just notified us about this. And we were just about to come out with a patch anyway. But because the other guy notified us about it first, then we can't credit you in the security bulletin we're about to come out with. At which they actually told me 3 times without me ever asking anything about credit. But it turns out that they did some checking, and the issues that I brought up, which was more than one issue, turned out to actually they did need to make some changes to their patch. That was June 20th. June 20th. What's the date? July 20th. Okay. Well, I believe on Thursday they finally released the bulletin. Does anybody know if the Microsoft just released a security bulletin on Thursday? Yes, they did. Did it credit Cult of the Dead Cow? What?
Oh, they're dead. I'm going to prison. Kick their ass. Line up.
Well, the end up of the story is that basically they've been taking so long because they've been trying to get their patches together. Supposedly they've had the Win2K patch available for a while, but supposedly they released this bulletin and they released a Win2K patch and they did not release an NT patch, nor will there be any patches for 95 or 98.
Yay, Microsoft!
So Microsoft's solution, by the way, to this whole problem is, you know, they say, well, it's not our fault. You know, we didn't write the protocol. We just used it. It's an unauthenticated protocol, which obviously was not ever designed to be used on the internet. So their solution is to use IPsec. So I don't know. I mean, I guess that would work. It's an interesting issue, though, because it's not just a simple DOS attack. Because you can be very selective about the machines and the specific services you disable, it really opens up a whole new, like, group of things that you can do, essentially, because you can also respond for any name. So you and it works on PDCs, takes out primary domain controllers, takes out WinServers. Servers. So you go in, take down the PDC. It's still there. It's still up. Still responds to TCP pings. Those types of programs won't think that the machine's gone down. Nobody can connect to it anymore. It stops responding for its name. There's a actually fully documented way of disabling remote browse lists. The browse list is the list that Windows machines maintain to all the other machines that it knows about. There's a program that comes with the resource kit called BrowseStat, which is for retrieving remote browser statistics, and there's an option for it called Tickle. Description of Tickle: disables remote browser. No idea why it's there, but it works remarkably effectively. disable the PDC, kill everybody's browse list, so now every time they need a machine by name, they have to go out there and ask for it. Now you answer for the PDC. You say, yeah, that's me. Now people connect to you for authentication. Connect to any of those machines, they connect back to you, say, can I let this guy in? Let him in. Beyond that, like if you don't know exactly why your network has been disabled, or why, for instance, it seems like every machine in the possible universe has already been taken on your network, or why your network just keeps dying. Unless you know exactly why it's happening, for an experienced IT professional, it's going to be impossible to figure out what's going on, let alone for every mom and pop who has a cable modem without any firewall or anything. The next step, for the next tool I'm working on right now is the next port up, UDP 138. Which is the NetBIOS datagram service. The NetBIOS datagram service is most commonly used for, again, the browser stuff, the way machines locate all the other machines on their Windows network and maintain. And there's a lot of, like, hilarious problems with that. And again, it's a completely unauthenticated protocol. One of the things it does is any machine can at any point ask to have an election to elect a new master browser. And the way elections work is everybody says, okay, somebody says, hey, let's have an election. Everybody says, all right, here's my infos. And there's nothing at all to stop you if you're writing your own pockets to say, all right, dude, I'm an NT20 machine. I win. And always become the master browser. The next step after that is to write the TCP 139 handler, the NetBIOS session, which is how NetBIOS nodes connect to each other for shares and all that. And obviously, you know, what I talked about before, emulating a PDC to approve authentication requests would require that. And I realize that there is Samba out there, but if anybody's ever looked at the Samba source tree, you'd want to write your own too. Another big advantage of having your own NetBIOS session handler that I haven't actually heard anybody talk about, and I'm really surprised, is the fact that you could very easily make it communicate through a SOX proxy. And think about how many misconfigured proxies there are out there that allow you to connect back into the internal network. And everybody who's behind a proxy says, why would I put a password on my share? I'm on a proxy machine. The proxy machine doesn't have any shares on it. I'm safe. But if you can connect through the proxy back to port 139 on any of those machines, you have complete access to their NetBIOS shares, which are probably going to be all exported if they have a LAN that required setting up a proxy. So the potential there is I think fairly large. I mean, it would be fairly easy once those three, you know, pieces come together to write an application which, you know, was essentially a one button take over your network type application. Have I gone on long enough? What else want to say? Another potential attack, once you have those pieces in place, is essentially to act as a man in the middle to the machine itself, where essentially because the browser stuff is all unauthenticated and anybody can essentially, you know, become the master browser or just really add fake entries into the other things, or what you want to do is if you have a network of machines, you disable all the ones except for your target machine, and then the next time your target machine tries to connect to any of those other machines, because they're not responding for their name anymore, you respond for their name, they connect to you, you immediately connect back to them, get your authentication token. When they ask for the authentication token, feed it to them, take the response they give you and feed it right back into their own machine. So I don't know. I think that basically describes the problems in detail. Does anybody have any questions? I'll take just a couple. In the back. You have to speak up. Yeah. That is correct. For a lot of the name registration stuff to work, to be able to keep people from joining the network, you have to be able to receive broadcast messages. You do have to be. However, that is not the case at all to be able to cause names to go into conflict. You can do that across the internet or across any connection. I'm sorry? Right. The name registrations are broadcast, and you do have to receive those broadcasts in order for that to work. That is correct. However, imagine a small Trojan or an intentionally ran program on a large network that sat there, listened for those broadcasts, and denied them. It would take forever to actually figure out, you know, what machine was doing that, because the machines are all so chatty anyway that unless you actually look at the actual packets and know enough about the protocol to see which packets are different from the others, but that is correct. You do have to receive broadcast for that particular option to work. Blue shirt in the back, very, very back. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes, I would hope that most people would know to disable NetBIOS, but the fact is that people don't. There's a lot of a lot of services in Windows that require NetBIOS to basically act as a local loopback like IIS uses NetBIOS stuff for all sorts of crazy stuff. People don't disable NetBIOS because that is the primary way of sharing files between Windows machines. It's the easiest way to do it. Nobody wants to have to run an FTP server on their Windows box, you know what I mean? And the fact is, you know, if you have your NetBIOS disabled, then, you know, if you are in a situation where you can disable your NetBIOS and you're smart enough to do that, then you're probably not going to care if somebody disables your NetBIOS network anyway. Uh-huh. Yes, there are many other exploits available for Windows machines. But I'm talking about this particular one. Did you have anything to say about that? Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you filter the packets, then you filter the packets, and that is... And you should, of course, but the fact is that people don't. And like I said, the main people who are going to be affected by this is not going to be companies who can afford firewalls and who know how to configure their own routers. It's going to be cable modems. It's going to be DSL people. And you'd be amazed how many small companies and stuff basically are just plopping on a DSL now and putting their boxes straight on the net with not even any blocking of any packets. Yeah. Regardless of what method it uses for the name resolution, the fact is you can still use these methods to disable the NetBIOS network. If they have no NetBIOS services, this is not going to be effective, obviously. But if they are using NetBIOS, then they have their NetBIOS node listening there. It's listening for these requests. It will accept the packets and it will process them. Yeah, and regardless of what they use for name resolution, if they are running NetBIOS on that machine, it is listening for those packets and it will process them. And that actually is what I think that Microsoft is actually going to end up patching, is that I think it's only probably going to fix a very small part of the problem, which is essentially if you have your machine configured to use a Wint server, it should only accept those name release packets from the Wint server. However, if you don't have your machine configured to use a Wint server, then if that's what the patch fixes, then it fixes that part of the problem. And I'm not saying this works in every single situation. There are, of course, many configurations where this does not work. But in most of the configurations out there, it does work. So anyway, thank you for your time.
Hello. This can anyone hear me all right? I got to stick this microphone in my mouth. The volume's all the way down. All right, I'm gonna give you guys a choice. Two things that I could talk about today. One, I could talk about a new version of Back Orifice. Or, I could talk about problems with NTLM authentication. Both relatively dry, but you have to choose one. Oh, we got some techies in the audience. Okay, they picked NTLM. All right, we'll talk NTLM. If you had picked Back Orifice, I would have had to jump up on the table and show you my butt. Because there is no version of Back Orifice 2000 currently. There is a 1.1 on the way that fixes a bunch of bugs, but, you know, it's in the casual and careless hands of the Open Source Initiative now, so feel free to chime in your dirty little patch if you want. All right. I've been doing a lot of Windows 2000 research recently. It's something that everyone seems to be migrating to. And I'm just going to bring up one tiny little thing that I came across. You don't even have to know how the program works in order to understand why this might be a problem. There's a new Telnet client in Windows 2000. Who's noticed that? It's like a console mode client. I was really overjoyed when I saw it. It's like they got rid of the awful, evil Telnet client and they replaced it with they got rid of the GUI-based one and they replaced it with the console client. I was just like, wow, you know, they're starting to, you know, starting to get better here. You know, so I was fooling around with this thing and the first thing I noticed was that they invented their own, you know, new Telnet options in this thing. I mean, of course, you can't just take the Telnet protocol and use it as is. You got to extend it, embrace, and extinguish, right? So, because Windows 2000 comes, the server comes with a new Telnet server, they actually went ahead and implemented NTLM in Telnet over port 23, just like all Telnet, doing NTLM. They do it as, you know, a series in the will, won't, do, don't negotiation at the very beginning. Can anyone see a problem with this right away? Yeah, okay, well, how about this? I mean, this is just, you know, this is not necessarily a vulnerability. This is obviously by design. And, you know, if they changed how this worked, it would totally break the design of things. So, if you telnet somewhere outside of your network and you negotiate a connection outbound, like to some machine elsewhere on the internet, and send your NTLM hash raw over the wire, that's a really bad idea. You know, see why that would be bad? I mean, you take here, username, you know, SID, hash. Here you go. Yeah, and you don't even need to crack it. A hash is a plain text password equivalent. Just log right back into the network where that hash came from. Yeah. That's not a very, you know, good thing. And a lot of people think, okay, wait, NTLM, that uses challenge response, right? It's not going to spit the raw hash over the wire. Well, let's assume that, you know, it didn't do that. Okay, just for a second. Let's say it was doing challenge response and that everything was good, so the hash never got transmitted. Let's say I send you a piece of Outlook mail with the body of the text being a frame and the source of one of the frames being telnet:// a URL. And when I see that telnet come across to my machine, I also see a request and at which point, you know, I just take, you know, that machine, I connect back to it on its net BIOS or whatever, and I say, okay, I'd like to access, you know, $ or whatever. It presents me with the challenge. So then I present your Telnet client with the same challenge. It gives me the appropriate response, and then I feed it back to you again. You see how this can't really be fixed terribly well? This problem of bidirectional negotiation and the challenge response protocol is broken. It doesn't matter if I have your hash. I can still use it to log into your network if I can synchronize the logins. So, that just seems like a gaping issue. If you're concerned at all about this, I would recommend that you just simply disable the telnet:// protocol in your registry and choose not to use the client. And it's just a warning. It just seems like this NTLM thing is going a little far. So, anyway, who wants to see my ass?
We want to see the new version of Back Orifice.
All right, I think I'm just going to pass this on back.
I'm going to be kind of quick about this. First of all, I want to point out the person doing the ASL translation. Really cool. I mean, let's round of applause.
Help.
Yeah. Particularly since she was translating. Okay, I'll give you time to fingerspell. Particularly since he was translating all of SD's rapid-fire commentary. So that's really cool. Okay, really quick. I was going to rant for a while, but we're on a time crunch. So look, virus writers suck. You know?
Okay, thank you.
but people that write Visual Basic scripts and call them viruses, they blow. So what I want to ask you folks to do something. You know, we got a lot of people here who are going to be designing and building the future. And, you know, don't waste your time with crap. You know, we all of you have the potential to perform miracles with software and hardware. I mean, literally. You know, we're on the verge of bionic eyes, just like the $6 million man.
Better.
Even, yeah. Bloody right, man. And, you know, the thing is that, you know, someone's got to design them. Someone's got to build them. Someone's got to write the code for them. and, you know, that's a whole lot better and a whole lot more important, a whole lot groovier than, you know, some little kid sitting there writing something's going to frag someone's hard drive. No one cares. You know, you can have the rationale of, well, you know, this just makes them aware of security. Okay, by that logic, if I kick a virus writer in the balls, break his nose on my knee as his head comes down, steal his watch, his wallet, his house keys, rip off his house, he therefore should thank me for demonstrating why he should have learned karate, kung fu, or taekwondo 10 years ago. No? No? The logic just doesn't hold up. So, you know, that's the thing. I mean, I want you to imagine for a minute. You know, I'm going to be quick. Imagine you've been blind from birth. You don't know color. You live in absolute utter blackness, and you have for like 30 years. But you've gotten married. You've had children. And then one day you're sitting at home, and your doctor says, "Okay, brace yourselves. We're turning on your eyes now. For the first time in your life, you can see. You can see your wife or your husband. You can see your children." You look out the window and you see, what the goddamn hell are those things up there? They're clouds. You know? Oh, that's blue. You know? And for the rest of your life, every day will be, you know, more new miracles. You know, or you're deaf and they turn your ears on. Or you're mute and suddenly you can speak and not with some overpriced speaking spell. Or you're Chris Reeve. You know, your neck is broken, you're paralyzed from the neck down, you can't even wipe your own ass. You need help to go to the bathroom. And then one day, they just turn that back on and you can walk, you can run, you can make love, you can wipe your own butt. And, yeah, right. And, you know, one of you people may be the one that writes the software to do that. One of you may design the hardware to do that. One of you may be the doctor that installs that. You know, and that is so much more wonderful, so much more miraculous than fragging someone's hard drive, you know, or fucking up a web page. So I'm not going to tell you to do this. And I don't tell anyone to do anything, but I want you to think. I want you to make a choice. And I want you to make a choice to be creative. You know, creation is hard. It's hard work. Destruction is easy. Any asshole can throw a brick through a church window. But it takes an artist to make that stained glass window. And, you know, any jerk can write a Visual Basic script. But it's going to take an artist. It's going to take someone who's got creativity. It's going to take someone who has devoted themselves to doing this to write the software that will let someone walk or see or hear, or to build the hardware that will do that. And I'd like you to just think about that and, you know, choose for yourself, but, you know, come on, guys, make the right choice. Thank you.
So, everyone here, I want you all to give it up for Mr. Death Vegetable.
Sir, that's actually Dr. Death Vegetable. I didn't go to Death Vegetable School for 8 years to be called Mr. by the like of you.
Dr. Death Vegetable, PhD. Professor Sardistic. Maharishi Dildog.
Make sure you pass it to Nick.
And Night Stalker, the official CDC crusty old guy. Now, a lot of people have come, like last year after our presentation, I must have gotten asked 50 times, when are you guys going to IPO? When are you guys going to make money off PO2K? And you might think that we're against that, but we actually kind of took that to heart. And so Nick here, the exclusive here, is going to tell you about our new money-making venture, hatsforcats.com.
All right. Yeah, we just didn't want to be left behind by the e-commerce revolution. So we have a nice, like, apparel slant on the whole e-tailing world. We feel like a critical portion of the market that's been left out is the world of animal apparel, particularly feline apparel. So what we've done is we've set up like a really killer back-end development team. We have some sharp project managers lined up, and they're going to help us execute this project. We're going to leverage the CDC brand to bring the world something that really has been missing. But I don't want you to think that what we're trying to do here is ape other fashion retailers like Bluefly.com, right? I mean, if we were trying to ape these other fashion retailers, it would just be another thing, and our IPO would probably flounder before it even flies. So we plan to release this new line sometime in the fall. It'll be a fall line. We have some high-tech fabrics lined up. I think some polyester nylon blends. And it's going to be exclusively headwear for felines.
So please
watch places like the Industry Standard and things like that for word of our upcoming IPO for the hatsforcats.com, right? The hell? I don't know about this.
Okay.
You know, that's the kind of shit we have to deal with day in, day out. I'm not joking. It's like you think we have day jobs, but it's all this fucking gorilla.
Did you see his eyes?
Yeah.
Someone on it! Who wants it? Who wants it now? Oh! Oh my God, you beautiful, sexy people! Oh my God, I have to hug somebody right now! You'll do! Oh! Where's my crew at? Where's my crew at? Something needs to be done! Something needs to be done about this! Ugh! Demon Seed is not pleased. Demon Seed requires sex and violence. Sex and violence to appease the gods of the computer world, which you people have no knowledge of, which you soon shall behold. Ah, it's the power of Demon Seed Elite! Sacrifice! And when I look out at you, this sea of shining faces, I feel so good, I feel so changed. It's one of the nasty things my pants are. I want to touch myself so first. A certain way that I think about a person like you know, we can get together, we can share something really beautiful. What can we share? Do you know what we can share love. We can share a kind of love between two adults that's consenting. And it's so good. So good, right? Ain't it goddamn? And we're gonna, oh God, cameras everywhere. They can film it, it's okay. Consenting adults. You know what? You can touch the snake. You can touch the snake. Everybody touch my snake. Yeah! Touch my snake! Revel in its power! Revel in my snake's power! The power of Demon Seed, the power of CDC! Oh, God, and then we're gonna lay down and I'm gonna roll over and I'm gonna start caressing you. Don't caress me. God, you're silky lingerie. It's so hot. So hot, and I'm gonna kiss you. Oh yeah, and you're all so hot. Oh my God. And I'm just thinking about the way your body parts poke out from there. Slip. I'm gonna stroke you, and I'm gonna caress you, kiss you here and there through the silk. And I go down to your V. I'm gonna kiss. And kiss and suck. And kiss, and we're all gonna start kissing. Then we're gonna kill! We're gonna kill this kid! Right! Yeah! You know what the CDC 5-year plan is? Do you know? We've been buying, secretly under another name, we've been buying some military land in northern Nevada. Shit's gonna go down really, really hard. Dropping it like it's hot. You know how we're funding this? We're funding this with hatsforcats.com. And then, we're going to emerge CDC as the new boy band. We will destroy NSYNC! We will destroy Britney Spears! Backstreet Boys! Oh! You ready to die, boy? You wanna die? First, I need to tell you a little more. I need to tell you about the 5-year plan I can sum it up very simply with this statement. This little statement about the five-year plan, because the CDC five-year plan calls for all you beautiful people a five-year orgasm! 5 years! You will be coming! And coming! And coming! And you will never stop! And the name you will call as you sink into orgiastic bliss is CDC Throw the Meat! Throw the meat! The meat. Kiss the snake. Kiss the snake. Kiss my ring. Good boy, you ready to die? You ready to die? Kill the rodent! Kill him! Almost too much to watch, isn't it? It's so gruesome and horrible, isn't it? Isn't it? It is! Demon seed has been appeased. Let this be a warning to you. You do not heed the ways of the cow. You shall be struck down! Made a victim to the absolute power of deduction! I think it's part of the show. I think it's time to give you sexy, wonderful people. Excuse me for spinning. I think we need some musical entertainment. The new intro of our boy band thing. What's it called? See, Aguilera wanted this song, but he said no. We've got this song. The song is called When I Say Dead, You Say Cow! Dead!
Cow!
Dead!
Cow!
When I say kicks, you say ass! Kicks!
Ass!
Kick!
Ass!
The song, please. Any moment.
I'll say
dead, you say cow, dead, dead. When I say kicks, you say ass, kicks.
So down this trench of this road, it's me, it's the phone, and ghetto stars. Shares in Benjamin, it's follow steps to my forefathers. My minutes in Marona, got more stars in the galaxy. Scorpio astrology, like climate seas, Tito coming with more harmony. Fuck around and face some oddity. Homonymity, circulating for real peas on these streets like methamphetamine. Step in your wake, the party burger king. Just my kid and genius, fuck out of anxiety.
When I say kicks, you say ass!
Kicks!
Ass!
Kicks! Ass! I'm but the world is telling cheesy. Drop, chop, drop, drop, hit this just rolling wrinkles. Tearing up these streets, how we fucking up these guys? Deep into my body, I look down, I look at high. It's an aggravated making on a mission to get hurt. My iguana got me shooting, man, I'm feeling for that earth. Keep on track of all my 40, every 24-7. Mexicano from the sur, reportando con un fuerte.
Dead, you say cow!
Dead!
Dead! When I say kiss, you say ass! Kiss!
Yes. And when my curse to fight, be the first to versify. The materialization of pain, I'm bringing it worse than I. Neurosis, poetic on your noses. For your blood, I can dilate it, iris, the focus, focus. My water can't get at it again. In the attempts at rehabilitation,
I want to touch myself more.
Who wants to touch my crotch?
Like
who wants it? Who wants it?
Intentions.
When I say dead, you say cow! Dead!
Dead!
When I say kiss, you say ass! Kiss! Kiss! Dead, you say cow! Dead!
Dead!
When I say kiss,
You say ass! 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 Young people make me hot. Okay, I think that about wraps it up. Next year, I'm going to try and do a bigger show for y'all. But I get the pro wrestling going on. And our buddy Dark Tangent's got to speak for a real PA. And it's going to be hot shit. All right, we love you. Good night, LA. Go to the PA thing. Go to the cow. When the bread spit in.
DJ Wonder Bread spinning, 5 to 6 p.m.
Thank you so much.
DJ Wonder Bread spinning, 5 to 6 p.m.
Leah, tell you people, I'm on. The show's over, but you know, it's cool. We're alone, right? Yeah. Yeah. I just wanna. I just wanna show you my snake. How do you like the snake? You're a sexy young man. You're a sexy young man. How's it going? Feeling alright? Yeah. Yeah. Let me that teeth file. Oh yeah, thank you for coming out. Thank you for coming out. We love all you people. We love you too. Get your foot up. You slacker.
Hurry up. Hurry up. For a week.
I know, but I slack.
You slack. Okay. Hello. We love you. And you. And you. How's it going? How's it going?
That's good, man. Hey.
What's up? Val the cow.
Thank you. Val the cow. Val the cow, you beautiful people. Please do. Please touch his head. He likes that. Thank you. Wow, rock and roll! Woo! Woo! Yeah, alright. We love you! We got t-shirts to sell! Wow! 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 Yeah! Rock and roll! Woo! Yeah! Yeah! Who likes that whisker? He wants to go download the whisker! Ooh, it's the hottest ever! Whisker version 1.14! Wow! Yeah! Gives me a big fat Woody. Whisker 1.14. Wow. Rainforest Puppy rocks my ass. He's such a sexy young hacker, ain't he? Ain't he? Rainforest Puppy. Ladies and gentlemen, a sexy young hacker. Because we're all sexy young hackers here, are we? Yes, we are. Yeah. CDC loves you. Even you people in the back. Even you, sir. Sir. Oh. 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 You enjoy the show. How's it going? Thank you. Alright, how's it going? Beautiful. Hey, how's it going? How's it going? How's it going? Oh my god. There's nothing I'd rather do now than buy a CDC t-shirt. Drink a lot of water and make beautiful love. Make beautiful love to all you hot people. Through our website, www.colddeadcow.com. Get on there and let's get nasty. Let's have lots and lots of cyber sex. Oodles. Oodles and heaps of hot tantric love. Oodles. Yeah, y'all photojournalist type dudes want to like touch the snake. Behold the snake. Tss, look, it's talking to you. Tss. You know what it says? It says, go to our website. Cold Egg Cow rocks ass. Woo! Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. CDC is rock and roll. Rock and roll is you. Backstreet Boys dead. 1 year. You heard it here first. Because CDC knows what's up. We know what's coming next. Britney Spears is over. Christina Aguilera, a dead subject. All right. Thank you very much for coming out. We'll see you guys later. How's it going? Oh, that's you. All right. How's it going? You want to say something to the people? Want to say something? Say something. Tell me how much you love them. You love the people, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Rainforest Puppy says he loves the people. And tell us about your app, The Whisker. The Whisker. It's hot, isn't it? How hot is it? It's so hot that it will eclipse the sun. Did you hear that? Rainforest Puppy says the new Whisker is so hot, it will eclipse the sun.